So, my dear brothers and sisters, in today's gospel, we hear some harsh words of Jesus, and I want to give it a little context because where we get the piece of the gospel today cuts off some of the, or doesn't cut it off, but you have to read what has happened in the previous chapters. What it does here is it gives a summary of what Jesus is doing, and it says, Jesus passed through the towns and villages, teaching as he went. And so, the apostles, the people who are following him, have been listening to Jesus teaching, and when they're listening to Jesus teaching, they're listening to things like the Sermon on the Mount, where we remember Jesus saying, love your enemies, do good to those who curse you, where Jesus says, you know, not only should you not kill somebody physically, but if you call your brother stupid or dumb, you've committed murder. And so essentially what Jesus has done is made the road tougher. And so what these people who are following Christ have figured out is that, hey, and they're figuring, this is dawning on them, hey, to follow this man, to follow what he's saying is very tough, is hard. And so one of them it's like playing in their heads what Jesus is saying, and they're doing their math in their head. And so as they do the math in their head and they're figuring out that this is not as easy as it looks, that this is gonna be tough, one of the questions out of their mouth, which is very natural and would probably come out of our own mouths, is, well, holy cow, if it's that hard, then how many people are actually going to be able to do this? And so what they're figuring out is, well, maybe that many people are not going to be so saved. And so the guy, out of fear, as he's doing the math in his head, he sees the problem and he goes, hey, Jesus, is it really true that this is, it paraphrases, he says, Lord, will only a few people be saved? And what the man wants to say is, if it's this hard, then it's impossible. And you would think that Jesus would turn around and maybe give him the 2025 kind of answer that sometimes we like to give, which is what I call United States nice. I'm paraphrasing from Minnesota nice and Wisconsin nice. We know that if you're from Minnesota or Wisconsin or the Midwest, you know what I mean. Well, and so, but Jesus doesn't give the United States nice answer, which is, oh, no, don't worry. It's going to be okay. And you say, well, Father, I mean, why are you making fun of the being nice? Because I'm not making fun of being nice. It's important to be nice. But Jesus says, In other words, the way Jesus responds is by saying to him, you bet that it's tough. And not only is it tough, but some of you who are following me are not going to be able to do this and are going to be left outside of the door. He tells them the truth. He tells them the truth. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I hope maybe we ourselves have done the math for salvation. Oh, and And we have all probably figured out at different points in our life, or we will figure out, that, hey, following Christ, being a Christian, especially in today's world, is tough. To follow Christ requires from us a radically different way of living. It requires of us a radical willingness to follow Christ, which means that we have to have a radical willingness to leave behind everything that keeps us from following Christ. And as I have said before, some of those things which keep us from following Christ in our life, such as our sins, our comforts, our pleasures, we are not so willing to leave those behind. We're not so willing, and they're not so easy to give up on. Because in a lot of ways, we want it to be easy to follow Christ. And Christ's response to those people who are following him is, strive to enter through the narrow gate. In other words, he's saying, work hard at following me. Work hard at leaving behind all of those things which will keep us outside of eternal life. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, heaven is not a given. Just because we're baptized is not an automatic entrance into eternal life. And I know that's hard to hear and it makes us uncomfortable. But you and I have to strive for eternal life, which means we constantly have to look at the way we are living our lives, and we have to ask ourselves, is my life an example of the way that Christ calls me to live my life? Is my marriage what God calls me to live marriage? Is my family the way God calls me to live in my family? Do I love my enemies? Am I able to forgive? Am I willing to leave behind sin? Or are we not striving for eternal life? And are we inviting others not to strive for eternal life? In other words, with our own children and with our grandchildren and with our friends, do we placate people? And instead of saying the truth, instead of inviting them to live in the truth of the way God calls us, are we saying to them, no, it's okay, do what makes you feel good. Do what you think is right. My dear brothers and sisters, you and I are called to do what God has called us and told us is right. And that is what we should be leading others to do. We should be helping, not in a moralistical beat people over the head with the truth kind of way, but in a way of love. And I think a lot of times we let United States Nice get in the way. We kind of placate people. And we say, no, you're okay. It's okay to not live your life the way God has called us to live? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Our mission is not to be popular with people. Our mission is to live our Christianity and to invite others to live that gift that they have. And yes, it's not easy. And yes, sometimes, frankly, it would be easier to not do it. I agree with you. Yes, you're right. It would be easier. But my dear brothers and sisters, when you and I face the Lord, and we will face the Lord, God is not going to ask us, did you do what was easy? God is going to ask us, did you live your life as a Christian? And did you invite others? All we can do is invite. We can't force, we can't demand, we can invite, we can have a willingness to with love to invite others. Now, that's where free will comes in. And then once you say it, then people can choose not to follow it. And that doesn't mean that you cut them off. That doesn't mean that you throw them away, because free will is free will, but it's about inviting others to strive for the narrow gate. You know, if you go, I love this about the Catholic Church. If you go into any church with the tabernacle in the center, you always see that the doors to the tabernacle are small. And there's a reason for that. Generally speaking, the doors of the tabernacle are small. And that's done on purpose, because it's a reminder of this verse from Luke that says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Those who don't enter through the gate are thieves and robbers. Oh, and the doors of the tabernacle are always small, because it's a reminder to each one of us that we must every day strive to enter through that small door. Because it is on the other side of that small door that we encounter eternal life, that we encounter heaven. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, as we continue our journey today, I invite you in this next week, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Strive to help others to enter through the narrow gate, to enter through Jesus Christ, so that all of us, when we face the Lord on our day of judgment, may hear the words, come, you good and faithful servant.